Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It remains a hard and discouraging fact that nearly 600,000 people face hunger across the 34-county service area served by the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. And while the food bank can't come close to solving the problem, it still makes a huge difference in the lives of thousands. As we head into the holiday season and many of our listeners start to think about the issue and how they might be a part of the solution, I was delighted recently to get a chance to sit down with the food bank's marketing and projects manager, Jennifer Caslin. Well, Jennifer Caslin, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You're with the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, and this is the time of year where you all sort of rise to the top of a lot of people's attention, which is good and bad because you all have work to do all year round, but you'll take it, right? This time of year, I can imagine.
Absolutely. We get about 50% of our donations in October, November, December, but obviously hunger is a problem year round. We want to make sure everybody has a meal for the holidays because it's extra bad, extra sad, extra upsetting when you don't have a meal for the holidays, but definitely hunger is here year round.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. Your mission, obviously, is to nourish people, to distribute food, but this isn't just in the Triangle, right? This is in a broad service area that you all work in.
Correct. We serve 34 counties, and we have the main branch here in Raleigh, which about 50% or more of what we serve or ultimately, or what we distribute ultimately, goes through the Raleigh branch, but we also have a facility in Durham, we have a facility in Southern Pines, we have one in Greenville, New Bern, and one in Wilmington as well.
Wow. I think it would be helpful to people to really sort of understand the basics of how it works. How do you all get this food, and how do you get it to the people who need it?
So essentially, we have donors. So we have retail donors, we have farmers, we have packers, wholesalers.
Are they mostly institutions or are there some individuals too?
I would say mostly institutions, but when it comes to the farmers, it does tend to be smaller farmers, sometimes medium-sized farmers, and then occasionally bigger farmers. So we definitely accept food from whoever, wherever.
So the food comes in and then you
food
somehow
comes in,
get
or
it
we go out and get it, right?
These local
and then we bring
points.
It back to our facilities, right? And our agencies, the partner agencies we work with, so the food pantries, the soup kitchens, the shelters, either come into our facility or sometimes we make deliveries if they're too far away from one of our branches or if it's something that's needed to be distributed quickly, we will make deliveries and then that food then goes out to the people who need it.
It's an amazing scope of operation. And obviously, there's a reason for that, and that is that hunger remains, the numbers just remain stunning.
Absolutely.
In our state and around our country. Literally hundreds of thousands of people facing hunger, right, in the 34 counties you serve?
Yes. In the 34 counties we serve, just under 600,000 people are food insecure, which means they don't have access to food on a regular basis or enough food, especially healthy food. Mm-hmm. And about just under 300,000 of those are children.
That's amazing and very sobering. Another group, though, that probably doesn't get as much attention is seniors, too, right? We have a lot of seniors that are food insecure.
Absolutely. And honestly, looking at the numbers that are coming through Feeding America, where we get our figures from, seniors seem to be a growing population, not quite as quickly as maybe some other populations, but they're definitely a population that are growing. We've got about 50,000 seniors in our service area who are living with food insecurity and having to make really tough decisions between paying for medication, paying for utilities, paying for rent, and paying for food. We've heard very sad stories from seniors of eating pet food, eating bread or water just to get by and not necessarily having a full meal regularly.
I wanted to also highlight the fact that there's probably a lot of the folks that you serve are working people, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would say most of the people we serve are working people. They are what we call underemployed. They're not making enough to get by.
Scrambling to work
two or three jobs, exactly.
And don't have health insurance.
Many of them are one incident away from really being in a bad situation. So for some reason, if those paychecks aren't already stretching to the end of the month and you have an unexpected car repair or a health issue or something like that happens, that just pushes you even farther below where you need to be, unfortunately.
We're talking with Jennifer Caslin of the Food Banks of Central and Eastern North Carolina. In addition to just helping hungry people, you also run programs and partnerships that are about trying to build some lasting solutions for some of the people you serve. Am I right about that?
Absolutely, yes. Several. So we have our health partnerships like we have with UNC Rex, mm-hmm. where we have a pantry right at the hospital. And we're looking at food insecurity screenings with these patients. Mm-hmm. And if they have something also like diabetes or high cholesterol or high blood pressure, they can get something, get actual food from that pantry that will help with that. It'll be a diet that helps with whatever that condition is that they have, in hopes that long term, they may be able to get off some medications or maybe less hospital visits, less doctor visits. That way, giving them that money back in the budget, more healthy days at work and things like that, getting them out of that situation, hopefully. Nutrition education programs. We have a teaching kitchen here in our Raleigh facility where we do classes a couple times a week. And the folks that do those classes get to take home. It's really fun. The first class we ever did out of that facility, the class got to take a crock pot home. Some get to take pots and pans. So we're talking about people who have one pot or one pan maybe. Right. And we're really grateful to get things like that. And then our kids programs we have that address hunger when school is not in session, which during the holidays we know is going to happen, obviously.
Another related issue is the fact that, of course, as for all the amazing work that you all do, it's absolutely critical that we have a public social safety net, right? I mean, we can't feed the hungry people of our society without things like the SNAP program, what we used to call food stamps. And unfortunately, right now, that program indeed seems to be under attack. We seem to be getting more and more cuts to those mm-hmm. services, right?
Yeah. And I think we saw earlier this year with the federal government shutdown that whenever there's changes made to federal programs or federal institutions, that we see a lot more people coming to the food bank. That was quite a busy time for us. Those 2 months, 6 weeks or so, I remember the last day or the day that folks had missed two paychecks. We had a couple come in.
These are public employees.
Both public employees. Right. No funds coming in at all, unfortunately. Never had to visit a food bank before. Young family. But just seeing tons of people like that who had never had to visit a food bank before, who seemingly had well-paying jobs, and all of a sudden it just wasn't there for them. So whenever we see changes in federal institutions or federal programs, definitely there's an increase in what we do. And there's already a gap in what we're doing versus what is needed. You know, we distributed almost 83 million pounds of food last year, which is about 68 million meals. We would still have to distribute enough to provide 23 more million meals every year to meet that gap.
And, of course, if we have additional cuts to SNAP and food stamps at the national level, the problem's just going to get even more significant, right?
Correct.
What about the issue of hurricane recovery? Y'all have had to deal repeatedly with big storms, which I assume puts another set of demands on you all. I mean, does that have like a lasting effect on your food stocks?
Well, luckily, we have a great disaster relief plan and disaster recovery plan. We have a very supportive community. You know, Florence and Michael and Dorian just came through within the past couple of years, and Matthew before that. And the community was so responsive in supporting us, which was wonderful. And we've so far been able to help all those who needed help. And we're still doing a lot of recovery work in the East. Places like Pender County, Jones County in eastern North Carolina have a pantry there that the food bank opened and operated because the couple of agencies we had there just couldn't reopen after the storm for whatever reason. Yeah. So that's still feeding about 50 families a week. Over the summer, I was in Pender County with some folks who'd been in three different houses since the hurricane hit, trying to get their house fixed and just having to be in temporary places until they could find another place. Kids are trying to go to school. Kids are trying to go to college and feeling guilty because they aren't there to help the family sort of recover. So definitely we are still there. We're still going strong, helping those families whenever they need it. And we want to be there until they finish recovering. Hopefully, knock on wood, don't get another storm, because as we know, Matthew hit 2 years before Florence, and we were still doing some recovery 2 years later when Florence hit for people who had been through Matthew. So hopefully we get that time we need to help the folks in the East recover.
We could all use a break from the serious storms. Well, obviously the final question here is, how can people help? I mean, we obviously, y'all could use contributions, presumably,
sure.
Maybe even volunteers. Should they go to your website or should they, what would be the best way for folks to get involved and to help with the cause?
Yeah, so the three easiest ways I always tell people to help is donate money, donate food, donate time. Right now we have a match going on through the end of the year. So every donation made is going to be matched. If you go to foodbankcenc.org/hope, that is our holiday meals drive. And then obviously anybody can do a food drive right now. We were just speaking before we came on air about all the food drives, the great food drives we have coming in. We also have virtual food drives, so you can do them online. And donate time by volunteering. We also have, you can sign up and look for volunteer opportunities 3 months out right now on the Food Bank's website in any of our locations, actually. So if you want to go to Raleigh, Durham, wherever you might want to go, go ahead and go to foodbankcenc.org/volunteer and you'll see the opportunities for the next 3 months.
Again, that's foodbankcenc.org, or just do a web search for Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. It'll come up quickly. They got a great website. Get involved, help them out. It's important work to do, especially at this time of year. Thank you, Jennifer, so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll talk again in the new year about some of the successes hope you'll have had in the next couple months.
We'd love to. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, it's Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.